Welcome to Soar Like an Eagle, the podcast created by students at the American International School of Johannesburg, exploring what makes us exceptional and highlighting our commitment to nurturing an inclusive community of empowered learners. Join us as we help you discover why AISJ could be the perfect fit for you.
I am your host, Sander van Beek.
I am your second host, Jedediah Morgan.
In today's episode, we will explore the technology available at AISJ to support teaching and learning, specifically how technology, which plays a ubiquitous role in our lives, is harnessed as a tool to help learners engage critically and creatively across a range of disciplines, preparing them to approach real-world challenges with innovation and insight. Our goal today is to answer questions like, what technologies are available for students? And how technologies contribute to learning of students. Today we'll be conversing with three technology gurus who have made significant contributions here at AISJ.
They are Mr. André van Wyk, our school's technology manager. Mr. André plays a critical role at school, ensuring the seamless operation of our technological infrastructure, from acquiring and managing digital devices to troubleshooting software glitches. Mr. André does it all. He works closely with school leadership to implement robust, industry-leading integration and automation processes. These efforts have optimized the school's technology budget while enhancing cybersecurity protocols. Mr. André continually drives improvements in teaching and learning, ensuring that the school remains at the forefront of educational technology.
Next is Ms. Corridor Alejandro, our high school technology teacher. We call him Mr. Alejo. He sees his main role as inspiring students to explore and express their human potential through technology. Not only has he created a student-centered course where students can create their own technological products based on their interests and what they want to learn, but Mr. Alejo is also a strong advocate for affinity spaces like video game design courses or the eSports club, even the cinema club, where students can gain critical consuming and theoretical skills to relate with digital media. Welcome, Mr. Alejo.
Ms. Vermeulen will also be joining in this conversation. Ms. Vermeulen is a technology teaching partner in the elementary school. She collaborates with homeroom teachers to co-teach units of inquiry, integrating technology and STEM concepts to help students showcase their learning effectively. Following nearly 2 years of inactivity in the elementary makerspace due to COVID-19, she worked with her team to reintegrate the makerspace and technology into various areas of learning. Together with homeroom teachers, technology integration coaches, and literacy coaches, Ms. Vermeulen has created meaningful opportunities for elementary students to explore STEM concepts and demonstrate their learning. Additionally, she leads Computer Science Week, where students engage in creative technology-based projects, like producing green screen weather reports for science lessons and more.
We will now move into the questioning part. And we'll be asking you questions and you simply answer them. Taking into consideration your role at AISJ, what are the top three tools you use on a daily basis to facilitate your job either in teaching or management?
So I use Google Education Workspace quite a lot. That's our main communication tool for collaboration, emailing, working with teams. I also use IT management tools like Web Help Desk for ticket logging, asset management, and they also have a tool called PRTG, which monitors all our active servers, computers, services, internet, and so on. So it's a proactive way of knowing how these systems are functioning. And then now more than ever, I'm using AI tools to kind of help me effectively do my job and getting some policies. I put it into ChatGPT and it helps me to draft some policies. Grammarly is great for someone that's English as a second language like myself, and it's got some great AI features built in. Thank you.
In my role at ASJ as a technology teaching partner, the three tools that I use the most, I would say I have a very flexible schedule. So Google Calendar really helps me to stay on task and be organized. The Makerspace iPads for facilitating student activities like Lego building and coding, and homeroom devices for supporting student research and project planning using platforms like Google Sites and Google Classroom.
As Andrew was saying, AI has become a great tool for us. I use it actively in my classroom to support my students with their coding challenges. Like I customized a bot on Poe.com that answers questions the students pose on coding or errors they're getting, or support, like streamlined support for them. The last one would be the robotics kits we have in the classroom. In my case, I have multiple robotics kits, and that gives me the freedom to allow students to choose which one they're going to use in the different classes. Like, for example, my robotics intro course just decided to work with VEX instead of working with Arduino or working with Lego, and that also gives us the freedom and gives especially students the freedom to choose what they want to learn and inspire their learning beyond what is written in a certain curricula.
So the main takeaways I'm getting is that AI is a big part of your daily lives. You've been using it to make jobs for yourself and others easier, but also the software the school uses, such as Schoology and Google Sites, it's become a big key role and tool you use to help students engage with each other.
It seems like Google and AI have been taking over our school, basically. Technology is used in the school to help and encourage students to learn. What tools can students use to pursue creative learning at AISJ?
So at AISJ, we've got a variety of tools that help students explore and express their creativity. One of the main ones is Adobe Creative Cloud. At the American school, we're quite lucky to have the full suite of the Adobe products to help with kind of unlocking that creative talents, which includes stuff like Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere Pro, and so on.
Yes, in the elementary school, we use kits like the Lego Spike for upper elementary. And the Lego We Do kits, that's one thing that we use for creativity. We also use the green screen for different projects.
In our case in high school, I would say more than the actual tools, what we do is to change the focus of the learning. In Maker Lab, students are able to decide what they want to create. And I support them. I try to support them to the best of my abilities on their different projects. So we have had students working on robotics, video games design, and programming, especially with IoT or Internet of Things. And lately we have been using Raspberry Pi to work on like more responsive and at the same time reliable systems that can help us. And they can choose. So basically, what we do in high school is use all these tools we have in the school, but give the students the freedom to choose what they want to create. And I work with them in a project management way to get those products done.
So overall, it seems like the school has a wide range. We have all the design products you'll need, all the software products you'll need. And then also the school gives us the option to do what we want to do, contrary to more of a traditional school where the school tells you what to do, you do what they do, and you do it because the teacher tells you. Here at AISJ, you get to do what you feel like is best for your learning. And then I think it also helps engage our students more and help them do better at school.
And pursue their passions in life, which is what we're here for. Inspired learning for our better world.
Those tools definitely tie into the personalized learning model that the school really wants to push out. So the kids can use the tools that work for them to get to point where they can learn from it.
Going beyond a classroom now, the school has many film-related technology such as Adobe and the green screen room and even video recording cameras. Can you tell us more about how students can access these equipment and how students have used them in the past?
We have a variety, like you've mentioned, a variety of film-related technologies to support creative storytelling. Like you've mentioned, we've got a green screen room that can be booked out at any time. You grab a camera or an iPad. There's green screen apps on the iPad. You go to the green screen room, get a microphone, and you record being a weather presenter and show the weather behind you. Then we've got the software tools on the laptop to edit the videos that we licensed for most of the students in the school. And if it's not licensed, we get the license for the students to be able to do those work. For the film and media classes, as electives and after school activities is also proving to be great. And the clubs that the school's offering for video editing and digital design.
In the elementary school, students are very lucky that we've got the green screen room in the library, which is directly connected to the makerspace. So they would usually use one of the makerspace iPads and the tripods, and then we'll practice the script beforehand and do the recording. And then they also learn how to add the background, either background music that they want to add or just a background picture. That is something that they've actually used for many projects. We've done weather reports with that. We've done news reports.
In the case of high school, it's more about, well, the classes as electives. We have also the esports club as a CCA. And we have robotics and the STEAM competition as a CCA. But also, I would say my classroom is open most of the time to welcome students. And their doubts, and their questions, and even their out-of-school projects. Like recently, I remember one student that came to my classroom and asked me for the soldering iron, and I was helping him to repair his headphones because one cable can lose. So it's more about having a welcoming classroom where they can go whenever they need it, and fix their problems, or create whatever they want to. It is open all the time.
So in brief, it seems like the main ideas are that students who use a green screen room and film can connect with each other, and that there's different levels of intensity, as you can call it, on how easy it is to use the products.
So along with film, robotics is also a big part of our school. I know of courses that are after school and in classes where students can participate in international competitions if you're upwards up in high school. Can you tell us more about how robotics are a part of our school and also how students can use and be part of the robotics team either in the class or after school?
Well, it is as simple as just joining the CCA or the club and going and committing to going or to assisting to the different meetings we have during the year so we can prepare for the different challenges we're going to face during the competition. The competition is based on BotBall, which is a standard robotics competition around the world. And we go and compete with other schools in Africa in solving certain challenges in a board. So it doesn't matter. What matters is to have the passion and be committed there.
Yes, well, we don't have a formal robotics class like in high school. In elementary school, the students do get a chance in the makerspace to explore different, more on a like introduction level, just how different machines work, and get a chance to work with the Lego Spike, again, like I said, with a upper elementary and then lower elementary with some of our other Lego kits. Hopefully in the future we can get first Lego League back.
Yeah, so it seems, again, we're following a very common theme. students get to do a lot of what they want to do, whether it be as young as elementary school. They're introduced to these things and they can take it with them as they go up to high school, and they can use it to solve problems, be creative, and then that helps them in the real world as they learn these problem-solving skills.
Since you've all worked at different places and different experiences, what other schools and companies that you've seen around does the school do better at?
I would say AISJ is a very privileged school, not in only in terms of what they have and the technology we have access to, but also on their interest on personalized education. As we have been talking and saying, everything is focused on that, on you to explore as a student your passions and your curiosity, and like literally managing your own learning to be the better version of yourself. I think that is a huge differentiator from other schools.
I also think that ASJ is very dedicated, and it uses things like the portrait of a learner to take technology and integrate it into the classrooms as well. And there's standards and benchmarks where the technology comes in, and there's IB that requires some technology in recording and music and so on. So the school is definitely privileged to be able to have all those tools that helps the students to be able to accomplish these diplomas and interests and learnings that help them focus on something of their interest. I've worked with tech directors and managers from a lot of other schools in Africa, and they all kind of look at AISJ as a kind of as a leading school with the technology and the integration and processes and so on that the school offers you.
I see that there's a common theme of there's a lot of support for students and teachers to be able to use these technologies efficiently.
I find it very interesting that we're viewed as a leading school in technology. I find that a little comforting to be at this school, and also very proud to be at AISJ. Next question that we have is, since technology will never go away, how do you see students using technology in the future at this school?
Continue with the theme around personalized learning and global connectedness and so on. That's always going to be kind of in the forefront of how we use technology and what technologies we bring into the school. With that, if you look at the school's pillars, which encompasses creativity as well, the technologies around that can help with the creativity, as we've discussed, is key towards the future for the school. And obviously using artificial intelligence and using it responsibly and encompassing that with digital citizenship guidelines for the school will definitely help with how we're going to use tech in the school.
I would add to that is moving away from being passive consumers of technology to being critical creators. That is the main focus. Like, that's my vision of it. It's like, you not only play video games because, yes, they're super interesting, but also because the stories they tell, and you're able to recognize that and go farther and even farther away and create your own video games to try to express yourself, like explore more of yourself and the world around us.
I think it will also, definitely builds on critical thinking and problem solving, especially at during the younger ages. And I think this builds on the critical thinking and problem solving skills in elementary school years. And then technology will also help to improve collaboration, or can in the future, between students here and say students from other schools. And the emphasis will remain on teaching students how to use technology appropriately, like not just using them, but interacting with technology and really making that your own. And I think oftentimes we think of creativity from purely an art, but I've seen in the makerspace so many times how kids use technology to show a different type of creativity. And I think that's really exciting to see where that will go in the future.
Thank you all. It seems a little scary to see with AI how far we've come in a few years and how quickly I don't have to do homework assignments anymore. But I always really liked how you mentioned we aren't passive consumers. We can now be critical creators. That is really good to hear when it comes to a teaching standpoint in the future. So now we're going to move on to a very special segment in today's episode. We are going to do what we like to call rapid fire questions. These questions are aimed to be responded instinctually and best responded with your gut answer. First question we have is, what is the coolest gadget you recently used for teaching or management?
It would be Lego. Prime is amazingly good, and I built differential gear trying to solve many of the issues we have in robotics and with robotics movement and turning exactly 90 degrees, you know, how to build it, how to try to figure out like how to make it move correctly. I would say that was very interesting.
From my side, we recently bought quite a cool piece of tech. We bought 10 virtual reality headsets. So being able to put that on and just being in a different world is pretty amazing. So what I'm doing with it now is just seeing how I'm going to be able to manage it. So I give it out to students and then let them loosen the metaverse.
Fairly recently, I used this with grade 5. They did a stop motion for their writing. So they wrote, and then they used some of them used Lego figures. Some of them used just the whiteboards and made some sketches. So they used different tools in the makerspace to bring those books alive with stop motion. And I thought that was really cool. That was just a different way of looking at how we can use technology.
You know, I would like to add to that. I have been promoting, when my students do reflections, they do it in video most of the time. And I have been promoting to use AI auto subtitling for the videos because it enhances accessibility. And I have been telling them, like, we are a very diverse school. One of the most diverse schools in the world that helps non-native English speakers a lot when they see your videos and they have auto subtitling. So use it always.
And AI makes that super easy now.
Yes. You don't have to type anything. It's like automatically recognizes most of it. You just have to correct typos and that's it.
Life-changing. And it's within Zoom as well. If you do transcripts, previously it was quite bad. Now with the AI integration, Zoom is also doing very good at getting the transcripts out of the meetings.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool for English language learners. I mean, all the different apps that we have available these days. And I think it just makes them feel more included and part of the classroom instead of always feeling like the one that has no idea what's happening.
I'm just going to say this. I can't wait to play around with the VR. Like, come on, it's so cool. And also, this school is definitely a very diverse community. So having all of this technology to make it easier to be with each other is fantastic. On to the next one. What are your thoughts on implementation of no phone policy and how does it impact your work?
From my point of view as the technology manager and the amount of times I've been called in around how do we block TikTok? How do we block Instagram? How do we limit this, limit that? There's definitely some abuse happening in the upper grades around the cell phones. Kids sometimes do not know when to switch off. They don't know when it's class time and when it's cell phone time. So the school that's transitioning to a cell phone free policy, I think from my point of view, it's good. It's going to force students to focus on schoolwork. It's going to enhance interactions between friends. Kids are going to learn how to work without cell phones. It's almost impossible to think about that.
That's a hard question because I have always been an advocate not to satanize any technology. Technology is only harmful or useful in the way we use it. So it's not about the technology per se. But as Andrew was saying, what we're seeing with these more recent generations is that they're losing their capacity to be critical users of it and know when to turn it off. So I think although I use a lot cell phones in my classroom for a student to take pictures, to take notes, to record the lesson, to do transcriptions, to use it for accessing some AI and like showing the code and trying to figure out solutions and problems, I think it's going to be a good thing to give, like, to recover the space of face-to-face interactions. That's something we lost, and maybe we lost it more with COVID or after COVID, and we need to regain it. And I know some students find it very challenging. We must take on.
One of the things I've noticed as a technology manager, I get a lot of questions from especially the technology teachers, the photography teachers, art teachers. Cell phones that's in kids' hands has almost become integrated into the schooling and the classwork almost. They use it often to go and take pictures outside, macro photography, recording, and so on. So I see your point where you started off. It's going to be a challenge to rethink a program and take the cell phone away from a student. And then we're going to have to look at how do we supplement that through iPads or digital cameras. Or it's going to be a challenge for, I think, both admin, teachers, and obviously the students who's not going to have their Instagram with them.
Yeah, I think it's important to find that balance between giving students enough time to go, especially after COVID, like we've mentioned earlier, to really improve social interactions without, you know, having something, a phone in your hand all the time, and maintaining focus in class, because that's the other thing. I see that even with when students use the Microspace iPads, like that can become a distraction.
It has been always part of our job, how to teach the right way to use technology. But the thing is, we are coming to this cross point, like this tipping point, when there is no other or like solution for this. That's why we have to become go so extreme in this measure and say no more phones. It's because, okay, like we have tried to show you, we have tried to like promote different uses, like to foster and to nurture a positive way to connect with technology. But this technology is so addicting, and it has been designed to be like that, that we need to unplug it.
I think the addiction part of technology has really become apparent. It's really clearly that students aren't able to focus as much, and that's why there's a lot of push for this, but then there's also pushback because, like you said, students want their Instagram, they want their TikTok, they want their Snapchat. Moving on, what is the most underrated skill students should learn in technology to prepare for the real world?
Resilience. It's like, not because it's technological, it is going to work. Not because it is in a computer, it's going to be perfect. Failure is part of everything. So we have to be more resilient.
For me, it's troubleshooting. Something you learn from technology, it always breaks. It's not going to always work. It's not going to be perfect. Sometimes you have to switch it off and on again to get it to work. It's a very underrated skill to have, and figuring out how do I fix it is a very underrated skill.
Yes. And that, like I said earlier, perseverance, because we find it a lot with the younger students, that because patience is still something that you work on a lot in elementary school. So they want something to work the first time they try. So that is definitely a skill that is underrated and that we really need to push.
As a game developer, I can see that resilience and perseverance is a key skill to have, as if you don't have it, you're going to struggle in real life, and you need to be able to troubleshoot, because that's where your solution lies. Is if you're not going to try to fix it, it won't be fixed. On to the next question. If you had no budgets or constraints, what is something you dreamed a school would have, like a tool or some sort of program?
For me, it will be multiple 3D printers in the elementary school, like I've said, because of, you know, the whole patience things. If I could have 15 3D printers. That would be my ideal world.
From my side, I'd really like to get the VR and the augmented reality program kicked off. I want to get more glass VR kits. I want to look at 3D printers, like Vilmin mentioned. I want to get laser cutters. I think CNC machines is going to be the future of designing in a 2D world and bringing it into a 3D world.
I would also add to that, like having more gaming consoles. I would love to have Xbox and PlayStations and Nintendo Switch so students can actually test the games they are creating, like in console, to actually put it on this and see how it runs and how limited it is and how you have to optimize it or not and how the control is going to react. Many things change in that experience. So that's one I would like to. And also like having a budget for video games and is playing critically some games in the classroom, not just playing because it's fun and you're the coolest teacher, Mr. Alejo. No, it's because there are many incredible games out there and you cannot understand how complex they are, not only in terms of the programming, but also the stories they tell and the art they have. So doing critical video gaming analysis, it's like using what we are producing as like a community and culture right now. Like video games are basically the literature of this century, like the art form of this century.
So we're almost out of time here. So we have one more question, though it's kind of been covered a little bit. What are your thoughts on using virtual reality in education, as opposed to in-person classes, supplementing or possibly completely replacing teachers?
If there was one thing COVID showed, is that working from home and learning from home, it just doesn't work. Having a teacher in front of you, showing you how something works, and you can raise your hand and they come to your table and explain something to you, is invaluable. I don't see education moving away from that model or to AI or to robots in front of a classroom. So teachers will, for foreseeable future, always be there.
Yes, I agree with that. During COVID, we've definitely seen that even the students that you think will be okay online and will be fine with not having the teacher there all the time, sometimes it's those students that really struggle the most. And I think it's very hard to build a connection with a student if you just see them on screen.
COVID taught us that dream of having or deleting teachers out of education and learning process is not possible, because learning is not only about the knowledge, it's about the connections and the personal connection the students make with the teacher. That's what is actually working in terms of making them learn a new skill. Personally, I'm not very, like, I don't advocate for virtual reality that much. I prefer augmented reality because the disconnection with the world is very heavy in virtual reality, like where we can really integrate it. And that's why I believe AR is going to be way more powerful on that, because it doesn't disconnect like the body part from like your sensory part. Like you can still take notes, you can modify the notes, like you can do even more learning with it, because the learning is not just having the experience. The learning occurs when you reflect on the experience.
Before we wrap up, let's recap the main takeaways from today's discussion. One of the most prominent themes was allowing students to choose how they wish to use the stick. The school ensures students can learn from themselves to use those skills in the real world. That is something that I have not seen another school has done before. First, hearing about how teachers support students even for their projects gave me the impression that this school cares for the students and wishes for them to succeed.
The most exciting thing I learned was that the school is constantly researching to find the best technologies they should implement. Like we heard about implementing AR and VR headsets into education, something I would definitely be interested to see in the future. I also learned how AISJ offers top-of-the-line tech with modern robotics kits, 3D printers, and software like Adobe Creative Cloud. This discussion gave us a good understanding of how technologies in our school have shaped how students learn. Students can use technology to help their learning through their personal or academic creative pursuits. Before today's discussion, I only had a student's perspective on this. This discussion opened our perspectives into other departments here at AISJ. Understanding technology from the school's teachers' and leaders' perspective has helped us understand how lucky we are to be part of a school that values education through technology.
Thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to have this discussion with us. It was a pleasure to discuss and explore what technologies are available here for the students at the school.
Thank you for joining us in today's roundtable discussion. It was a pleasure learning from all of you today. Hopefully you learned something new about AISJ. Until next time, go Eagles!
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode from Soar Like an Eagle, a podcast series proudly produced by students from HSB English and IBDP Music at the American International School of Johannesburg. To discover more about AISJ, visit our website at aisj-jhb.com.